Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining me. Happy Resurrection Sunday to those of you in the Christian community. This is your host, Diane Rosina Jones, and you are listening to Becoming Who I Am. I'm once again just excited in regards to just being with you. I'm trying to really contain myself. There's some things going on that God is doing, and I can't even discuss it as of yet, but I will say that I am amazed at just what will happen when we align ourselves with our universal purpose, with our soul purpose, and believe in the possibilities. So before I get too caught up, because you know that I can get caught up in the conversation and, you know, at the beginning, at the onset, and just go in. So before I actually do that, I am actually coming to you in a new way this morning, so I hope that you are hearing me loud and clear. There have been some changes, good changes, looks like, in regards to Blog Talk Radio's available, you know, the way that we connect to our studios. We even have the ability to screen callers now. I'm excited. I really am. So in order to screen callers, I actually have to give out the phone number. So let me do that. If you want to call in today and talk or chat or discuss this comment, you can dial 760-695-5620. Once again, that is 760-695-5620. I know many of you have the number already and you call in on a regular basis because you're not actually at your computer or anything. You know what time the show comes on. I appreciate that. You just call to listen and you actually don't want to be on the air. Well, now I can tell you officially you don't have to worry about me bringing you on the air when you don't want to be, because I do have the ability to screen each caller. So if you call into the queue and I see your number, and of course I don't remember any numbers, I will have the ability to screen you and not put you on the air, so don't worry about it, okay? You can listen all you want without actually being accidentally put on blast on air. Okay, so I have the chat room open for those of you who want to join me there. I, of course, you can catch up with me on DieJones247 on Twitter. On Facebook, that's Diane Rosina Jones. If we're friends, you can post comments there. If not, you can go on Facebook to Transforming Life Institute, the fan page. Post your comments there. I will be reading them throughout the show. And you can also go to the website, that's one of my little Twitter accounts and I got carried away. Let me back up. The name of the website, because I was going to say something else, is www.transforminglifeinstitute. You can sign up to be a VIP member, a free subscriber, or whatever the case may be. Right now, being a VIP member is as simply as just $25 a year. It will not always be so. So I encourage you to jump on that while you can. Okay, because that is not going to always be $25 a year, especially once we start with more seminars, more workshops and things of that nature, the conference, the annual conferences and things like that. $25 a year right now is phenomenal, and that's just, and actually I will tell you, I think most of you who have, you know, gotten that VIP membership right now, I will let you know that your support of Transforming Life Institute actually sponsors this show and a number of other things, but mainly right now the sponsorship of this show. So if you are a VIP member, I thank you, because know that your tax deductible membership contribution is supporting this show, okay? Is sponsoring Becoming Who I Am. And once again, we do appreciate that. So that's Transforming Life Institute website. You can jump over to the community forum, go ahead and sign up, place your comments. You'll be able to read our weekly prayers and things like that. It's just a lot of things going on, and I'm trying to get focused. I'm going to tell you the truth. Right now, my mind is somewhere else where it's been since yesterday. All I want to say is this. Before I get into the workshop today, you know, let me say a couple of things. Let me first go to Resurrection Sunday. As someone who was born and raised in the Christian religion, spent 30 years of my life associated with Christianity, I understand and I know the importance of Resurrection Sunday. I was reading recently in regards to someone else's perspective on Christianity and what we focus on and what we don't focus on. And it was very interesting because one of the things they talked about is the fact that much of our religion focuses on the suffering of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, his suffering. And many things in the religion focus on the suffering. When you go to many places, if there's a symbol of Jesus that is most prominent in the religion, it is the actual cross. Or actually Jesus on the cross, crucified. Which in my readings, I understood that and I got that so clear that unfortunately our decision to focus on the cross, the crucifixion, or the suffering does impact the way we see our world, the world that we create, the things that we focus on, because our focus, even when it comes to God, you see, even when it comes to the Son of God, even when it comes to Godship, God, the Godhead, God within self, then all of the association seems to be focused on suffering, the crucifixion. When really, you would think that we would focus more on the resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection one day a year. We wear symbols of the crucifixion in the suffering all year round. I'm not a scholar of the Bible, but I will say that I've read and studied the Bible in many different versions throughout the years. I do not believe, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody will point it out to me, you know, have at it, that the Bible focuses, especially the New Testament, that it focuses more on suffering. I don't believe that. I believe that actually even if you read and study the word in regards to the New Testament, the focus is on sonship. When I say sonship, I really what I'm implying is focuses on the benefits of following, of having a relationship, of believing, of understanding, of having that faith in God. So I agree with the readings that I've studied that really we should shift our focus. Our focus should not be so much on the crucifixion and the suffering, but on the resurrection, on the fact that although no matter what you go through, here we go, no matter, and then I'm going to let this go because that's not the topic today, no matter what you go through, even unto death, okay, life can result from it, and even death is not final. See, many don't, you know, I'm just going to go there. Many don't believe in reincarnation, so to speak, or that we, you know, that there is a possibility of life after death, but we believe in the resurrection. I would say that, you know, we have to reexamine what we know, what we believe, and what it symbolizes for us, what it means for us, what it means for me if I focus on the crucifixion and the suffering of God, of God's Son, I should say, of the Son of God, as opposed to focusing all the time on the resurrection. What does it mean to celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day? How would your life be different if you focused and celebrated the resurrection of Christ every day? If you woke up every single day and knew that even death couldn't keep you. Don't make me preach because you're going to have to send me an offering. If you woke up every morning knowing that not even death could hold you back from what God had purposed in your life, how would you live your life differently? I'm just going to leave that right there and move on. Okay. I am leaving that right there and I'm moving on because that topic has really got me caught up and I really kind of really could stay there and do a whole show on focusing on the resurrection of Christ. Building your whole relationship with God, living your whole life, seeing the whole lens of your journey through the resurrection, not the crucifixion and the suffering. If you shift your focus and shift your consciousness to see the lens of your journey, when I say the lens, that means that everything that you see in your life, everything through the lens of the resurrection of life, not the crucifixion, not the suffering, but the resurrection and what that means. And that means that not only death can prevent your destiny from manifesting when we line up with the universal purpose for which we were born. Ta-da-da-da! So that even in death, the manifestation of your destiny will impact the lives of all that it should impact. You see, when you connect to your universal purpose through your Creator, I'm going to leave that alone because, yeah, I can stay on that for a long, long time. I can stay on that a little longer. If you want me to tackle that at another date, you certainly can give me a call, let me know. We will go into the discussion of how to live. That's going to have to be a workshop. How to live a resurrected life. Count on it, okay? It's not even going to be Easter when I do it because Easter is today, the celebration of Easter is today. But let me say that even right now, what I am going to do, because Spirit already gave it to me, when we are finished with this workshop for Tragic Treasures, I am going to go into immediately do a workshop entitled How to Live a Resurrected Life. Okay? Mark your calendars for that. We have about 6 more weeks for Tragic Treasures. That following week, I'm going into How to Live a Resurrected Life. Okay? I keep saying that thing like, you know, like I got to wait until I finish. But I think, I'm going to follow Spirit. Okay? I am going to follow Spirit in regards to this. And what that means is that I kind of feel like I'm supposed to talk about it today. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not even going to worry about what the show title says. It's already out there. We will do workshop number 6, I believe it is, or if it's 7, let me go back and see what workshop we're supposed to be doing today. We're supposed to be doing Birthed Out Tragic Treasures Workshop Series 7 today. We will pick that up next week because today what I am going to do is I am going to do what Spirit is telling me to do, and that would be to teach a class on how to live a resurrected life. Okay? So here we go. And this is all Spirit because it just came up right now. And this does not have to apply to just those who believe in Christianity. This applies to all of us on this journey. And this ties in really with Tragic Treasures, with the book. So it really does tie in with the theme, but I'm going to go in a different direction. And here's the direction that I'm going in. The concept of living a resurrected life is understanding that nothing in your life can die. There are no visions, there are no dreams, there are no hopes, there are no goals that can die in your life that you don't have the ability to resurrect on a daily basis. There is no purpose, there is no destiny, there are no relationships that can die in your life that you don't have the power already within you to resurrect each and every day of your life. So if you would change your consciousness in regards to how you live your life, knowing that, you know, one of the things is there's this concept of impermanence. And, you know, I've been studying that, and a lot of that, you know, in the Eastern religion and Buddhism, there's this thing about suffering being self-inflicted, and it really boils down to the fact that we don't know how to have a lesson, move through it, and let the pain go. We hold on to the pain of the lessons that we experience. And I'm trying to give you a quick class in that so I can get back on topic. And because we hold on to the pain of the lessons we experience, that's why we experience suffering. But if we know that all things are impermanent, that nothing is permanent, then we would not suffer because we know how to let stuff go, because we know that no matter what season we're in, it's not permanent because nothing is permanent. Now, the problem with nothing is permanent is when things are going good, we want things to be permanent. So we have a hard time letting go, because if things are good in my relationship and things are good with my kid and things are good with my finances, my job, I want this to be permanent. But if I have to live in a place where nothing is permanent, then there's a possibility that I could lose these things that are good right now. So then what happens is because I don't know how to walk in that concept of things being impermanent, when something happens that was good and it shifts to being no longer good, I suffer pain from it. I hold on to the memory of what used to be good, even though that season has changed. And because I hold on to the memory of what used to be good and the season has changed, there goes suffering. I hope you got that, because Spirit gave that to me and I couldn't repeat it even if I wanted to. So that's the premise. So now here's the premise of living the resurrected life. Because we know nothing is permanent. So that means even in the good times, or what we classify as bad times, seasons change. That means that when a season change and maybe something that I felt was good for me at that time comes in a situation and there is loss, because now loss is a normal part of life, because loss in this journey, because loss sometimes precedes change, expansion, growth, transformation. Well, let me rephrase that, because Spirit said loss always precedes those things. Okay. There's always a loss of something that forces us to change, grow, expand, transform. Whether it's physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual, there's always loss. So, but because we don't want loss, because we don't understand impermanence, remember, and because stuff is going great, we don't know how to recover from loss because we're stuck in the pain of the self-inflicted self-suffering. But when you live the resurrected life, I'm getting happy about this thing. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Y'all going to have to forgive me, because this thing that is being revealed to me even right now to share with you, it is making me feel some kind of way inside. I don't know about you. But when you live a resurrected life based upon the concept of Christianity, even if you're not a Christian, most people that not even they don't consider themselves Christians know the story of the resurrection of Christ. When you live a resurrected life, then you live under the premise that each and every day, no matter how good life is, you know, I know that there is impermanence and I may suffer some loss, and I may cause me to suffer in an instance because I don't want to let go of what used to be. But I understand that my suffering can be short-lived because as soon as I let go of what used to be, see, Christ got on the cross, and when he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Oh, come on now. This is your resurrection sermon. When he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," that's when he let go of what used to be. And at the moment that he let go of what used to be, it was finished. But once it was finished, then 3 days later, he was resurrected. Bam. You know what? I might have to give out the post office box number for you to send your offering. I might have to give out the phone number for you to call and give me, you know, you can charge the offering. Or baby, you can go to the PayPal and go ahead on and give an offering, because this is a sermon straight from God. It's been a while since I've actually preached. It's been years. It's probably been 10 years since I have brought forth a word. But I feel like I'm in a pulpit right now. Okay, so I'm going to go with it. So now you understand living the resurrected life. Let me break that down for you again. Loss is a part of the journey which facilitates and precedes and comes before growth, change, expansion, transformation. You see? When we understand that, no matter how traumatic it may be, and I'm about to, you know, it almost makes me want to, it almost brings tears to my eyes, because I can remember and I understand that there sometimes the loss is so tremendous to us until we feel like, I can't recover from this. I can't overcome this. I will never, I'm dying. I have died. This is the death of me. Come on now, get it. This is my Friday. This is my Good Friday. This is it. There is no way I can be resurrected on Sunday, because the pain is too great. The loss is too great. The suffering is too great. There is absolutely no way I can be resurrected 3 days from now. Here is spiritual truth that has been revealed unto you at this moment today. You can make a decision to live a resurrected life and understand the loss, the pain, the suffering. That does not say that it won't hurt. I am not saying that, oh, you can get to a place where it don't hurt. It's going to hurt, and baby, it may hurt like hell. Now, you know I wouldn't say that if I was in a pulpit, but I'm going to say it now because I'm on the internet. It might hurt like hell. But know that when you live a resurrected life, that your 3 days is up to you. Oh, my God. Spirit is saying this. When you live a resurrected life and you understand the premise that although it may die, it can live again, then the 3 days is up to you. You can experience that of being in the grave. Grave meaning I've lost, I've suffered, I gave up the ghost. Come on there. Oh, my God. I gave up the ghost. Okay, it is finished. You can experience that concept of being in the grave. You can experience it for 1 day, 3 days. But see, if you don't get it, you might experience it for a week. You might experience it for a month. You might experience it for a year. It might last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. It might last the rest of your journey. You might spend it in the grave. I'm just going to tell you what Spirit is saying. If you get to the point where you give up the ghost and you don't believe in the power of the resurrection, that means the spirit that is within you, that, oh my God, if you don't believe, if you have let go, if you have said it's finished and you feel like it can't be resurrected, then you may spend the rest of your journey in the grave. But know that when you live a resurrected life, there is nothing that you experience, there is nothing that you lose, there is nothing that you die to, that you cannot get up from, that you cannot be resurrected from. How long you stay in the grave is up to you. And know that when you are resurrected, what happens? When you're resurrected, see, when he was resurrected, when Christ was resurrected, come on now, he came back with all power in his hand. Bam. Okay? okay? He came, so what happens when you live the resurrected life, See, I'm getting so excited about this thing until I'm losing my speech where I can't even pronounce the words I'm supposed to be pronouncing. When you live that life, okay, let me give it to you. Then what happens is every time that you get up, every time that you are reborn, every time that you are resurrected from the situation that you went through, from the death that you experienced, when you are resurrected, you get up with more power in your hand. You get up with, you see, I'm going to have to go Christianity on, I'm going to have to go where spirit is having me go. So for those of you who don't believe in this concept or whatever, that's okay. You can still apply it. When you get up with all power in your hand, then that means you have power over some stuff. Okay, if you're one who believes in the devil, you got power over the devil, baby. And I'm saying that because everybody don't believe in the devil, the concept of the devil. But even if you don't believe in the concept of the devil, know that that power in your hands that you got up with means that you have power over, okay, that means you got power over your ego. Mm-hmm. That means your own behavior. You get up with power in your hands, that means you got power over your situation, okay? You get up with power in your hands, you got power over what you're going through, your life experiences. You got power. And I keep saying, I'm saying power over because Spirit wants you to know that every time you live the resurrected life and you may experience a situation where you suffered and you feel you died, okay? When you resurrected, you wake up with power in your hand, and you have power over. Okay? And Spirit won't let me let that word go. So I think somebody needs to get this thing that you have power over. You got power over some things. You got power over some things. I'm saying some things because really you got power over all things, but a lot of us, our faith ain't great enough for us to operate in that level. So, you know, a lot of us, our faith, you know, is just not at that place. That's true. It's not that it's not possible. It's that we don't believe. We don't believe. It's possible. Baby, all things are possible. But it's our belief that hinders the power over. The reason you don't have power over the things that is going on in your life, is your belief, your faith, truth. That's why we don't have power over. It's not that it's not possible. It's because we don't have the faith power over. But you get up every time you are resurrected, every time you live the resurrected life, you get up with all power in your hands, and you have power over. So see, then what happens is each and every time that I get up every day and I'm living the resurrected life, the resurrected. See, I'm telling you, slow down. I'm going to slow down with my talking because every time I get excited and carried away, I can't even say the word. Then I have more power over. Mm. So guess what? Before I experienced the death, here we go back to Christianity. When Jesus walked the earth and allowed himself to experience the loss, the expansion, the growth, the transformation, because really that's what was happening in everything that he was experiencing. When he walked the earth, he had a certain level of understanding, a certain level of clarity, a certain level of faith, a certain level of power. However, once he experienced the death and he gave up the ghost and he understood it was finished and into the Father's hands he commit his spirit. See, that's it. Each and every time that we suffer a loss and that we have to change and grow and expand, the transformation comes when we say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So the resurrected life, the resurrected life, implies that each and every morning when I wake up, I say, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. So if I walk in a situation each and every day where I wake up and I say, into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit, and walk that day out like that, what that means is that whatever level of understanding and power and destiny and purpose that I walk in is that day when I experience a situation where there is loss and growth and expansion and transformation, which causes me pain and suffering. Come on, I'm breaking it down. Spirit is breaking it down for you. That even though I may feel as if I'm experiencing crucifixion and it is finished and I have to give up the ghost and I die, when I understand that power, in 3 days I can be resurrected, and I'll be resurrected with more power than I had before I went through the loss, the suffering, the pain. Ah. And each time I have that experience, every time I'm going to get up with more power in my hands. Each time I have the experience, every time I'm going to get up with more power over. Each time I have the experience, oh, come on now. Do you get it? Do you see it? Do you understand what Spirit is saying about living the resurrected life? Is it clear? It should be crystal. And I don't even mean to carry it like that, but I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so excited about how God is just revealing it to us, is just breaking it down. I'm telling you that's why I just had to, I got to explain it like that, because my dear sister, my dear brother, the power that you have in living a resurrected life is absolutely critical each and every day. And this is not a concept of, okay, just on Easter I'm going to live that way. Woo, Lord, it's Easter morning, live a resurrected life. No. Spirit is saying that you can live in this way each and every day. And if you live this way each and every day, then no matter what you experience or encounter on this journey, you can come back from it. And you can come back from it more powerful than you were before. I'm going to tell you, this thing is flowing through me so deep, so hard, so intensely, until I might even write a whole book about it. I think that Spirit might be revealing to me, I may actually write about living a resurrected life. Whether I can say the word or not, because the more I say it, the more excited I am about it, the more, excuse me, I have a hard time even saying the word. I'm trying to slow down here and let my brain catch up with what my spirit is revealing in regards to the subject, but I'm so excited until I was having a whole hard time in like even slowing down. I'm really having a hard time slowing down, allowing my lips and my words and my speech to, and my mind to properly channel what Spirit is saying to me in regards to this subject. Literally, I'm having a hard time slowing down because the information that Spirit is giving me, I just want to blurt it out to the point where, when I find myself doing that, I can't say the words because I'm trying to talk too fast. So let me slow down. I'm going to center myself. I'm going to breathe. I believe, though, this may be, and this is the first introduction to it, here today on this show, what I believe you have experienced is an introductory class on one of my upcoming books, Living a Resurrected life. For those of you who have been listening to this show since I started, which was May 2011, so next month will be my 4-year anniversary, you know this is the way that Dancing with the Universe came about. I woke up one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and Spirit gave me the chapters, just like that. I had been talking different things over with my coach, my master coach, and she said, you need to write a book on that. She understood that it was a book that Spirit had given me. 4 o'clock in the morning, gave me the title to every chapter and started breaking down the chapters. I did two shows in 2011. I believe it was either late 2011, early 2012. I did two shows about Dancing with the Universe that ended up being my book. My second book, which came out in 2012, God gave it to me like that. And today, I believe God has just given me another one. I have to say another one because really, as far as a concept for a book, this would be the fourth concept that I'm working on. I have three other books that I believe God has mandated that I write. And they're all going to be within a short time of each other. It's not going to be, but you know, my first book came out and my second book came out like 2 years later. With these next four books, they probably, based upon the fact that two of them I've already started on, and this one I know is going to flow from Spirit, so it's not going to be hard for me to write. And the other one, I've had the concept for a couple of years now. All four of these books may come out within, all of them may come out within 12 months of each other, you know. So I would say, based upon Spirit, that there's no telling. All four of these books might just come out, bam, 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 bam. Okay? So, I've been able to gather myself for a moment in regards to this concept. And I hope that you hear me to understand what Spirit is speaking today. I hope that you know that a resurrected life, living a resurrected life, is possible for not only those who walk or believe in the Christian, you see, not only those who are Christians, so to speak, but the concept of living a resurrected life is available to all. When we understand that we are connected, that we are one with the Creator, that the only limitation that we have placed on us are the limitations that we've set. Based upon most of the times, remember when you may not remember your own experience, but for those of you who are parents, I was going to say, remember when you was a little child, excuse me, for those of us who are parents, remember when your children first started walking before they went to school? So the time frame from the time that they walked and went to school, they were absolutely fearless. Had no fear of doing anything. Unfortunately, we taught them fear for their own safety and for ours. But I say unfortunately because many of us taught our children to fear everything. So we taught them to limit their imagination. We taught them to limit their goals, their dreams, their hopes. We taught them to limit their power and what it is that they could do. We taught them to limit. Now, not only so, then we were taught also to limit that in which, you see, we thought was possible. And we've lived with these limitations. And because we have not been living the life of one who understands the power of being resurrected each and every day, every time something happens, because we're not living that life, and we were taught to limit, and we were taught to be afraid of loss, because we don't understand the concept of loss, which is really the concept of change, which is really the concept of growth, expansion. Since we don't get that and we don't understand that and we weren't taught that, each time we have an experience that causes that and we inflict the suffering upon us and we experience the death of a thing, we aren't equipped to resurrect or to be resurrected soon. And when we are resurrected, we don't understand the power that we possess from having come back from a thing. This book, and although it will not be strictly for, I know it's a book now, the more I'm talking, although Spirit has not given it to me strictly for Christians, it will have you, we will kind of dive into the experience of Christ, the passion of Christ, okay? The crucifixion and the resurrection. Not the concept of what happened, the brutality of the crucifixion, but symbolically what happens when once one faces death, a loss. But more importantly, what happens when you get up with all power in your hands? Woo! You know what? I'm still feeling that thing. So, what I'm going to do, though, because I'm going to take a few moments and get us back on track for next week, because I have done what I feel like Spirit wanted me to do. Next week, we're going to return to the Tragic Treasures Workshop, and we are going to go into Workshop 7, Birthed Out. So you still have an opportunity. Those of you know that Tragic Treasures, my first book, is a really short book. It's only like 127 pages. So if you don't have it, you still have the opportunity to get it and catch up with us. Birthed Out starts on page 69. It's an easy read. You can purchase the book by going to my website for your autographed copy, which is www.royaltreasurespublishing.com. Or you can go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, you know, and you can purchase your book there, or you can download the ebook. I am blessed and highly favored. I know a lot of people are kind of just with Amazon, and I'll leave it there. But with my books, you can get them. You can download them whether you're with Amazon. So you can download it to your Kindle, you can download it to a Nook, you can download it to your iPad, you can download it to your iPhone. Baby, you can download it if you're out of the country, if you're somewhere else. 70 different devices. My book can be downloaded. So there's absolutely no reason for you not to get your copy of Tragic Treasures to join us next week as we go into Birth Out. Okay, in that chapter. That's going to be a powerful chapter. Really kind of lines up with the theme from today, but I won't try and go into that chapter. Only 15 minutes left for this show. So I want you to have the opportunity to go where you need to go to get your book in regards to joining us next Sunday for that chapter. Now, those of you who are interested in your one-hour free transformational life session, you can contact me by going to my website, www.transforminglifeinstitute.com. Click on Contact Us. Schedule a transformational session. It is a 1-hour free session to be completed within this next week. It will only be by phone or email or Skype. No in-person sessions for the 1-hour free session. It should be pertaining to something to do with a Tragic Treasures workshop only. Okay, one of the previous 6 chapters that we have already discussed. What I will do is extend it to the many people who have read Tragic Treasures. So even if you are not necessarily doing these workshops right now because you've already read the book and kind of worked your way through it, we can do a session in regards to Tragic Treasures, a 1-hour session as well for you. I recommend that people contact me, schedule the session, or contact me to schedule the session at least by midweek so that session can be done before the next seminar, next workshop, which is next weekend. Okay? So I'm kind of coming down out of that space where Spirit was just through me in regards to this subject. I'm kind of calming down, getting myself together. And I know and hope and pray that on this day, for those who are celebrating Easter, that it's not just about having on a new outfit and going to church and seeing a great service or a great play or some great singing or even a great sermon, especially if you don't go to church on a regular basis, that it's so much more is understanding what it meant for Jesus to go through that experience. I know many people think it only means many people just got the concept that, oh, he just did this for me because I'm a wretch undone. He had to do all that because of me. Truth is, let's speak truth. Okay? God, the universal creative source and power, could have used any demonstration, any possible thing to demonstrate the concept of redemption. So having selected death and resurrection to signify the concept of redemption. Okay, come on now. Spirit is going back to it. So having used the ultimate death and then the conquering of death, resurrection, to symbolize the ultimate redemption is a story and a testament and a testimony to each and every one of us that every day, that even if we experience death, our redemption is in the fact that we can be resurrected, okay, with all power in our hands. Now, here's something that I want to clarify. Now, death of a thing, death of a situation, death of a whatever type of death it is that we experience, remember the resurrected life is the fact that I can be redeemed. I can be resurrected. I'm saying this on purpose. I can get up with all power in my hand. I get up with power over. So this is an individual experience, unique to each and every one of us, and we all have to have our own experience in order to get up with all power in our hands, in order to get up with power over. Now, I may get up with power over some things, and that may give me the ability to affect those around me, or I should say affect those around me. But that does not, my power don't transfer to them. You see, they have to have their own experience. They have to live their own resurrected life in order to. So don't think of this as an experience where you can say, okay, I'm getting up with all power in my hands to change my child. No. This is an inner working life. This is an inner working life. See, Becoming Who I Am and the show and Transforming Life Institute, this is all about inner soul work and understanding that when we do inner soul work, that really that expansion, that growth, that change, that transformation that we experience, it goes beyond us and it touches the lives of those that we come in contact with. And it causes their consciousness to shift. And then they can make a decision on whether they're going to expand, grow, change, or transform. However, we cannot force, make, or pray up on anybody to make them change, expand, you see, transform, or grow. So your concept or my concept of living this life, know that it still applies to me and me only. I can wake up with all power in my hands. I can wake up with power over. But know that the power I wake up with is power over my own life, power over my own thoughts, power over my own choices, power over my own reactions, power over my own speech, power over my own destiny, power over my own journey, not power over someone else. Okay. Now, the concept of Christ having power over, dominion over, others in death and hell and a grave and a devil and all that. That power over, check this out, and I'm going to drop this with you and I'm going to leave it, and you're going to have to read the book to get the rest of it. That power over, now when Christ was resurrected, he had all power over, but he used that power to impart and make others consciously aware. That's what happened with the 12 disciples. When he made them consciously aware, then they made choices and decisions in regards to how they would operate from there. And then Christ ascended. He didn't take power over and then went down and say, oh, you're going to do this, you're going to do the other, just like I said, you're going to do it. Power over is not to dictate, to control, to manipulate family, friends, children, coworkers. The power over is to make others consciously aware, possibly, and mainly that conscious awareness comes the fact that we operate now in the power of the resurrection, the power that was bestowed upon us having gone through death, hell, and the grave, got up again. So now the power that I operate in, the power I have over, is not that of control and manipulation of others, is that of influence, basically, because when I interact with you, I cause there to be a conscious awareness within those I interact with. Then they make the choices, they make the decisions, they make their mind up in regards to who they will become, whether they, okay? So understand this power over don't mean you got control over nobody but yourself. You just wake up with more power over you. Don't think you wake up with more power over others. You wake up with more power over you. And the more power we have over us, the more we can affect a change in us, in others. However, that's going to be influential based upon a conscious awareness, a waking up. I can cause people to wake up. Oh, Come on, Spirit is giving that to me. There is some concept, I don't know where I read it, that, or some book I read, I don't know whether it's biblical, that during the crucifixion, when Christ gave up the ghost, that at the moment that he committed his spirit unto the Father, that something happened within the earth realm, and that others that were dead got up from the grave. Okay, now guess what? Now this would have been power over, you see what I'm saying? Power over some things, but that was an indirect, because there is no mention, you know. Oh, come on. I'm going to leave that there. So I want to clarify, yes, we get up with all power in our hands. We get up with power over, but it's power over our lives. So living a resurrected life gives you power over your life, which leads to influence over the conscious awareness of others. My beloved sisters and brothers, I'm going to leave that right there, because truthfully, I could keep going. But I won't. But I've been blessed to be with you on this morning. I thank you for your love and your support. I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ on today, understanding that in celebrating His resurrection, it empowers me and enables me to walk in my resurrection each and every day. Each and every day. May we wake up, and as soon as we wake up, may we say, Father. And I'm saying Father symbolically, to symbolically express that I mean universal God. Okay, because I know not everyone believes that God is their Father, so to speak. But whatever you want to say, wake up with the understanding to commit your spirit unto the creative source of this universe. That is good and that is loving and that is kind. All that is good, all that is loving, all that is kind, all that is peaceful, into your hands I commit my spirit. So today I walk in the power over. Today I walk in all power. Today, I have dominion over. And walk out your life each and every day knowing that today, you walk in power. I love you. Appreciate you. I thank you for joining me on this Resurrection Sunday. Namaste.